Listen now to God's word in the Gospel of John. Now the Jewish festival of booths was near. But after his brothers had gone to the festival, then Jesus also went, but not publicly, but in secret, as it were. About the middle of the festival, Jesus went into the temple and began to teach. And the Jews were astonished at it, saying, "How does this man have such learning when he has never been taught?" Then Jesus answered them, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. Anyone who resolves to do the will of God will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own. Those who speak on their own seek their own glory. But the one who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and there is nothing false in him." On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of believers' heart shall flow rivers of living water." And Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." People of God, though the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. As I said at the beginning of this service, during this season of Lent, we will be looking at statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John that begin with the phrase, "I am." Today, we begin with Jesus' declaration in the temple that, as he said, "I am the light of the world." Understanding the setting of this statement, the setting of this proclamation, helps us to understand and to hear God's message to us this morning. Jesus has come to Jerusalem for a festival called the Festival of Booths. A booth is a tent, a little structure that God's people would build to remind themselves of the time when they, God's people, lived in tents and traveled through the wilderness as God led them towards the Promised Land. In Hebrew, the word for booth is Sukkot, so the Festival of Sukkot. This festival was a pilgrimage festival for God's people. That meant that every year, people from all over Israel would travel to the city of Jerusalem, to the temple, for a week of celebrations. Now, according to ancient historians who were around during Jesus' time, during the time of the temple, one aspect of the celebration of the Festival of Booths was the lighting of four great lampstands that stood in the outer courtyard of the temple in Jerusalem. These lampstands were very tall and very large. At their apex was a large bowl that would be filled with oil and affixed with a large wick. Each year, priests would climb ladders carrying jugs of oil to fill those bowls at the top of these great lampstands. Their wicks would be lit in the evening during the Festival of Booths, and they were elevated so high up, and they were there at the temple, which was on a mountain or on a large hill in the city of Jerusalem. And so ancient historians claim that the light from these four great lampstands, when they were lit during the Festival of Booths, the light would spill out over the whole city of Jerusalem, and the light was visible from every courtyard in the city. There in the temple at night, priests would light even more lamps and even more lights, torches. And additional priests would play music, and other priests would dance. At night, God's people would gather together there in the temple in the light of those large blazing lamps, in the joy of the music, and they would dance and they would fellowship during that festival all night long. This festival of light, the outstretched glow of those great lamps, this light represented several things to God's people in Jesus' time. The light reminded them of God's pillar of fire in which God had dwelt and which God had used to lead the people while they were in the wilderness, when they were living in booths and tents. During the Festival of Sukkot, the light reminded them that God had been the guide for their lives. God had been the one who had shown them the way. The light of these lamps also reminded the people of God's presence with them there in the temple in Jerusalem. The light itself was a trait of God's glory. And where God went, there too went God's shining, brilliant glory. Long before Jesus' time, when King Solomon had built the first temple in Jerusalem, God's dazzling glory cloud had filled the temple with brilliant and dazzling light. And so the light of these lamps during this festival, they reminded the people of God's presence. Finally, these lamps also represented the people's hopes. For after Solomon's temple had been destroyed, God's people had wondered if God's light was really still with them. When the temple, the earthly location of God's brilliant and life-giving glory, when it had been destroyed, God's people wondered and feared that perhaps God had in fact left them to fend for themselves in the darkness of this world. The prophecies from the book of Isaiah, God's promises in that book, God's words promised that God's light would return. God's light would come to shine in the darkness. And so in Jesus' day, as those priests lit the lamps and played their music, and as the people gathered together and danced on that festival night, they did so as a sign of their hope and their faith that the light of the world, God's light, would someday come in their presence. Jesus, we are told, was standing there in the temple. And Jesus, we are told, was teaching on a certain day, the final and the great last day of the Festival of Booths. The last day of a holiday, the last day of a festival of light that was characterized by constant light, the sense that the light of God was shining all around all the time. This week, as I researched and read about this festival, this was a new realization for me. I had never before realized that the Festival of Booths was in part a festival to celebrate light. But according to the historic sources, Jerusalem was a place that was lit up for an entire week. That vision, that idea of a city being lit up for an entire week, it made me think of a vision from the book of Revelation. In Revelation, John's visions predict the final state of things, when God's will has finally and fully been realized. And the prediction is that God will come to God's people and to be with them like a great light. In Revelation chapter 21, John tells of a vision of a new city, a new Jerusalem coming down from God, a city that has no need for the sun or the moon or any lamps, for God and Jesus are there in the city, and they are the light of that place. They are a light that shines forth always, continuously, never burning out. It is a light that reaches far, not just into every courtyard in the city itself, but it is a light that John sees is reaching to the ends of the earth, a light that draws in and gathers all of God's people, no matter where they are. In Jesus' time, when he was there in the temple for that festival, there were 7 days, 7 days during this festival of light when Jerusalem was lit up like the new heavens and the new earth. On the last day of that festival, the pilgrims in Jerusalem must have felt a mix of excitement and joy, but also the feeling of sadness. For the fun and the excitement of that pilgrimage, the fun and the excitement of this festival, of the music and the dancing and the constant and hopeful light, that experience was coming to its close. As I was thinking about those pilgrims, it made me think about the excitement and the fun that I've had visiting cities while I was on vacation. I thought about the excitement and the fun of being out in a city at night with all of the lights of a city spilling out into its streets. I thought about how 1 year I had the joy of traveling to Paris to visit my brother and sister-in-law just after Christmas. We spent a New Year's Eve at a dinner party with some of my brother's friends, eating good food, listening to music, dancing, and enjoying the warmth and the comfort of their brightly lit apartment. Late into the darkness of the evening and into the new year, we headed home to my brother's place. And we walked through the streets of Paris, and the whole city was lit up, still awake and celebrating the new year. Light was spilling out from people's windows and doorways. We could hear music drifting out into the streets, and the twinkling lights of Christmas decorations were still ablaze, twisted around lampposts and balconies. As we walked through the lit up city streets, we wished everyone that we passed a bon année, a happy new year, happy new year. being there in that place of light and fellowship and celebration was wonderful. And of course, it was also sad when my time there in Paris came to a close and I had to head back to Charles de Gaulle Airport and head home to the not-so-sparkling and not-so-twinkling existence that existed outside of Paris and outside of that festival of the New Year. What a fun time it must have been in Jerusalem for those pilgrims who had come from all throughout Israel to be there for that celebration, to see friends and family, to hear the music, to see priests dancing, to see the great light of these lampstands in the city of Jerusalem. And how sad it must have been for them to leave and to have to journey back to their rural villages and hamlets, which had none of the fun and the spectacles of that great city. None of those tall and giant lampstands. It was to these pilgrims who were on the verge of leaving the reach of the light of that festival, it was to these pilgrims who were about to travel and to walk the dark highways back to their hometowns, it was to those same pilgrims that Jesus made his declaration that day on the final day of the festival. Jesus was saying, "Are you about to leave this place of light? Do you believe that you are destined to head back into the darkness?" Jesus was saying, trust and believe. These lamps here in this courtyard, these lamps which tomorrow, when the festival is over, when they are cold and dark, they are not the light of your life. Jesus was saying, I am the light of your life. I am the light of the world. And if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness, for I am the light of life. People of God, God speaks to us through these living words this day. For we are not so unlike the first audience to whom Jesus spoke this proclamation that he is the light of the world. We are those who hope for God's light to shine in our lives. We are those who need light to guide us in our lives. We are those who crave a sense of peace, knowing that the light of God's presence is here, that God's light is with us, that it stretches out from God's glory, and it reaches even into the darkest corners of our communities and our homes and our lives. Jesus speaks to us through these living words in the Gospel of John. He speaks to us a word of comfort and a word of invitation. The word of comfort tells us that God's light has come into the world. God's light has shone through the darkness, and though the darkness tried to overcome it, the light has shone forth even still. The darkness could not overcome it, not the darkness of our sins, not the darkness of spiritual evil, not the darkness of sorrow, not even the darkness of the grave. They could not overcome God's light in Jesus Christ. Jesus, the light of the world, has come into our world, and he has shone through his death and his resurrection that the light of God's love is stronger than the darknesses of hatred or evil or sin or the power of death. Jesus' words that he is the light of the world, that if we follow him, we too will have the light of life. Jesus' words are a living invitation to all of us. Like people who are traveling through a wilderness, like people who are journeying through the wilderness of Lent, like people in the wilderness of a pandemic, in the wilderness of the cold and gloom of winter, the wilderness of hatred and division that exists in our country and even in our church's denomination. Like people traveling through a wilderness experience, like a pilgrim returning home on a dark highway, we are those who need a light to guide us in our lives. Today, God reminds us that God has not left us to fend for ourselves in the darkness. God has not left us to fend for ourselves. God has not left us to the impossible task of trying to lead ourselves in blindness and in darkness. God has given us a light to guide us in our lives. The light of our life is our Savior and our Lord, Jesus Christ. Today, at the beginning of this season of Lent, God invites us to welcome that light into our lives. Today, in the season of Lent, God invites us to open our eyes, to see and to follow the light of the world. May we do so with courage and with the help of God's Spirit. Amen.